morning, Promised Land Church. Promised Land San Marcos, it's so unique. You know, nowadays we have to make sure we stress Promised Land San Marcos because we have Promised Land Lockhart, and there's some amazing things going on at that campus. Yes, yes. Well, good morning. Good morning to all of you. My name is Thomas Doherty. For those of you that don't know me, I help work with our hospitality team here at Promised Land San Marcos. Obviously, I am not Pastor Robin. I am the older, fatter version of Pastor Robin. Gray hair. In all seriousness, I do want to make sure that we welcome all of our first-time guests this morning. If you're new here, welcome. We're so happy that you've chosen to come visit today. And I also want to take just a second to welcome everyone that's watching online, everybody that might be listening via podcast today. We're so thankful that even though you're not able to be here with us in person, that you are here and you're going to experience God's presence wherever you might be. Let's give everybody that's watching online a hand this morning. Has this not been a great sermon series? What an amazing thing God is doing in and through each and every week of Relationship Goals. There's been some amazing things that have been shared in these messages. And I just want to go back through a couple of them because I don't want us to lose the foundation of the message. First and foremost, the common theme to everything we're talking about, it will always be true. God first. God is enough. God first. And God is enough. Very important that we get that into our hearts first and foremost. Secondarily, I loved the concept of, you know, I've got to make sure that I'm being fixed first. Before I can get into a relationship with anyone else, I need to make sure I'm allowing Jesus to fix me first. I've got to get in the chair with one before I can come over and get in this couch with someone else. Pastor Will shared something that I thought was amazing, the pyramid. It gave us a visual of how the world sees relationships, but how God sees relationships. And the very foundation of the relationship, which we'll talk about a lot today, needs to be focused on Him first, spiritual connection. And then last week, Pastor Robin shared something that I thought was just amazing. It was really, if you really heard it and you really let it sink in, he was talking about being intentional, scheduling romance. Man, imagine how many relationships, how many marriages would be saved in the United States, in the world, if we just were intentional about romance, if we put as much effort into our relationship with our spouse or our friends or our family as we do the extracurricular activities. It's been an amazing series, but God's not done yet. I believe that God's got something great for us today. We are talking about relationship goals, obviously. So I would be remiss and probably banned from my home if I didn't say that I am blessed far beyond what I deserve with an amazing wife, Stephanie. Blessed beyond what I deserve. I cannot explain how lucky I am that God placed her into my life. Quite frankly, I'm not sure that I'd even be here today had God not placed her into my life. So everything on purpose and with purpose, amen? Amen. So I've got to say that I'm truly blessed. But I got to tell you a little bit about the story about how we met, because I think you should get a kick out of this. It still makes me laugh. We met at a bowling alley. Yeah, we were in a bowling league together. And so we would see each other once to twice a week as a part of this bowling league. Now, here's what's interesting, is that the only reason I met Stephanie was because I was dating someone that was on her bowling team. So I'm dating a young lady that's bowling with my future wife. And that's how I met Stephanie. And, you know, I met this sweet, quiet, shy, she was very shy, person at the bowling alley. And on our first date, I'm skipping around, you're probably thinking, hold on a second, you're dating someone else. What are you talking about first date? On our first date, Stephanie and I went on a date with other people. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and she was with another young man. His name was Glenn. I'll never forget him. So we went on our first date with other people. Awkward. Everything was awkward, right? That was really strange. It was really, really strange. But we went out and we danced the night away, and I think it was probably only a few weeks later that I decided that me and my girlfriend were not going to work out. We broke up. And Stephanie decided, you know what, I'm going to stop seeing that other I'm in church. I can't say that. That other guy. She decided, you know, I'm going to stop seeing that other guy. So I thought, you know what, she's really cute. This girl's cute. So I think I'm going to ask her out. And I heard through people on her bowling team that her birthday was coming up. So I said, you know what, I'm going to ask her out. I'm gonna go for it. Now, believe it or not, if you know me, you're probably thinking this is not true. I'm pretty shy when it comes to matters like this. So I had a nephew that was 5 years old. He was a little guy and really cute, and I thought, he's way cuter than me. I'm gonna use him to get me that first date. So I told my nephew, I said, listen, Austin, I want you to go down. I want you to tell that girl over. Just tap her on the shoulder and tell her I think she's really pretty. I'd like to take her out for her birthday. And he's like, oh, don't make me do it. And he goes walking down there real slow. He's looking back. I'm going. He's looking back. No, keep going. He goes over, taps her on the shoulder, and he's laughing, and he whispers in her ear, and she starts laughing. I'm like, oh, that's not good. That can't be. She's laughing. So anyways, she whispers in his ear, and he just starts cracking up. Now I'm thinking, oh, I'm doomed, man. She thinks I'm some kind of putz or something, and she wants nothing. So he's coming back, and he's laughing, and I say, tell me what she said. Hurry. And he's like, no, I can't say it. I said, no, come on, tell me what she said. He goes, no, I can't say it. She said, you're a hunka hunka. And I was like, wait a second, a hunka hunka what? where is she going with this? I'm not quite sure, but he said, you know, she thinks you're a hunka hunka and that she would love to go out with you. So I asked her out, and we went on our first date. Our first date was country dancing. Any two-steppers in the house this morning? So we were shining belt buckles, if anybody knows what that means, to the slow song, right? Nice and up and close, and that's actually where we found our song, which we'll talk about in just a second. But we were dancing, and I thought, man, because this is the world, what the world teaches us, this is the one. I can tell, right? The feeling started to creep in. The timing was right. And I thought, it's now or never. I'm going to lean in for a kiss. And she backed away. Rejected. And, you know, quite frankly, for me, I wasn't quite used to that. And I was that just made me want to kiss her even more. Right? So I kept trying and trying, and she kept rejecting and rejecting. Now, y'all are probably thinking, man, how did y'all end up married? Well, how we ended up married is we started dating, we started going out, and I've got to share this with you because it's an important part of the message today. After a few short months, we both had the quote-unquote feelings, and so I proposed. Gave her a ring, proposed, and 6 months later, we were married. 6 months. And everyone that knew us said, you guys are crazy, you're nuts. And I think both of us, down deep in places we didn't want to talk about, thought we were nuts too. But we got married. We did it. And people said, you know what, it's not going to last. There's no way it's going to last. Guess what, folks? In August this year, over 17 years married. Now, I really appreciate that everybody's clapping, but trust me, there's more to this story. There's a lot more to this story. Now, I have to say that we did have a song. Our song was Amazed by Lone Star, and it's an amazing song. I've got a clip for you back there. I didn't want to sing, because if I sing, everybody will run out the back door. Here you go. It's coming, I promise.
Time our eyes meet, this feeling inside me is almost more than I can take. Baby, when you touch me, I can feel how much you love me, and it just blows me away. I've never been this close. I can see your dreams. I don't know.
Wow, right? I mean, isn't that the kind of song you get married to? I mean, come on, somebody. But there was another side of the story. See, the reality was the first five plus years of our marriage were not like that song at all. Anybody know who Pat Benatar is? Love is a battlefield, but we were young. Anybody? I can do that one because I can make that one funny. I wasn't going to try to sing that other one for real. Look, the reality is love is a battlefield. Those four words were very true about the environment in our home for five plus years. Now, you might be saying, well, hold on a second. Why? And it's very simple. Very simple to explain. Our relationship was built on a shaky foundation, on a weak foundation. You think about this building. Strong foundation, strong structure. It stands for a long, long, long time. But you build a structure like this on a weak foundation, it crumbles and it falls. Our relationship was built on the wrong foundation. It was based on feelings. It was based on physical attractiveness, intimacy. It wasn't based on our relationship with God. So those four words perfectly described our home, and part of our bad foundation, quite frankly, was our past experiences. I know I've shared a lot of my background with you, and I'll share a little bit more today, share a little bit about Stephanie's background, because we haven't talked about that much, but our past experiences were part of what shaped our foundation, which was why it was so weak. You know, I came from a family, and I've told you guys this before, you know, my family, they married, they fought, they divorced. And this wasn't just immediate family. This was just my family. People got married, they fought, and they divorced. At the root of most of those issues was alcohol. I mean, that was just the way that my family was built. When I was a senior in high school, and this is not something I'm proud to share, but listen, God wants us to reveal the truth, right? We got to see the truth in this message. When I was in high school as a senior, it was not uncommon for girls to get to spend the night at my house. Somebody in here just cringed a little bit. Yeah, me too, at 44 years old with two daughters. But that was the way it was. That was the way it was. Matter of fact, the parties were at my house, and my grandmother would go and buy all the alcohol. I mean, that's my life. You know, Stephanie wasn't a big drinker when we met. She's not. She doesn't like to drink. But I was. And that's what was causing all the fights, the screaming, the yelling, the clawing, the scratching. The love is a battlefield. It was literally a battlefield in our home because of my past experiences. You know what's interesting about Stephanie is that Stephanie's family was fairly similar, especially her mom and her dad. Her dad was a heavy drinker. And she would describe to me, now here's the only difference. My family, when things got rough, people left. Her family stayed together. Her mom and dad were married until the day that he passed away. And the reality is she would say, you know, I would sit in my bedroom night upon night upon night listening to them fight. Hiding in the closet. Trying to stay away from dad and stay away from the anger and, you know, stay away from all the screaming and all the yelling. I mean, we had these things in common. And when you think about these past experiences, they were starting to shape our relationship. They were starting to control our relationship in every way. As a matter of fact, I would say that our relationship was mirroring everything that we had seen growing up. But it wasn't just past experiences that were shaping our foundation. It was also bad expectations. Bad expectations were shaping our marriage, shaping our relationship. I was a broken man. And the reality is what I was looking for in Stephanie, what I saw, and we've got to hear this morning, I was looking to her to fix me. She was quiet, shy, sweet. She was a part of Promised Land Central. She's going to be the one that calms me down, that cleans me up. I was putting all of the pressure on her to fix me. And she came into the relationship with expectations too. If you know Stephanie, you probably know a little bit about her story. She was married before to a young man. His name was Derek Farrow. an amazing young man. When I met her and started going to Promised Land Central, everyone that I talked to about Derek had the same things to say. What an amazing person, what an amazing young man, what an amazing friend, what an amazing husband, right? Everyone, her family, generous, compassionate, kind, patient, loving, just an amazing young man. And here she is coming into our relationship with that expectation, and she ran into me. Now, she would tell you that today, that was part of what attracted her to me, was that little bit of that bad boy. Come on, somebody, y'all know how I'm talking about right now. She saw a little bit of the bad boy and thought, oh, that's exciting. I've never quite seen this before. I'm gonna give this a shot. Now, she would also tell you that inside the bad boy, she saw a good heart. She saw someone that cared about people, that was genuine and compassionate, loving and kind too. You just didn't get to see it very often. But the reality is, she came into this relationship with expectations of a family and kids. And man, when you've got a relationship, just think about this for a second. Think about the foundation. I wanted her to fix me. And I want to stress something, because this is really important. We didn't have marriage problems. We were two broken people with problems that got married, thinking, hoping that we would fix each other's problems. How flawed is that? That I'm thinking to myself that this broken woman is going to fix my brokenness. That is a weak foundation. In our marriage, that foundation was completely built upon those past experiences, those bad expectations. And so after some time, ups and downs, things changed, and they changed very dramatically when we separated. Everyone that knew us said, you know, saw that one coming, right? Her and the kids came back to Austin. I was left in an apartment in Waco, apart, seeing my kids on the weekend and taking them back to mom. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever gone through in my life. And I know Stephanie would say the same thing. So, I mean, just difficult. Makes me think, gets me emotional first and foremost, makes me think about Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 and 27, it says, "But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey is foolish." Now, I want to be clear. We were at Promised Land Central, and God was making his way into our lives. But even though we were listening and saved, there was closed doors, and there was areas of our life that we weren't letting him in. We were saved, but we were still broken. So that scripture, hearing what I'm teaching but does not obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. That is exactly what happened in our relationship. It crashed. The wind and the waves knocked it down, tore it apart. She's in Austin, I'm in Waco, all because of a bad foundation. Now, yes, we had this bad foundation, but I want to stress that in that moment where I'm alone in my apartment, my kids and my wife are in Austin, was when I really said, okay, God, enough is enough. No more shut doors. No more hidden places. I want you to come in. I want you to take all of this. I want you to have all of me. I'm just laying it down. I was on my knees. I was crying. I was very emotional, saying, God, I just all of me, all of me, all of this, all of her, all of this relationship. And man, I'm going to tell you, I've never felt peace in my life like the peace that came into that apartment that night. It was amazing. I'd never felt anything like that in my life. And I started to see, she started to see a shift in our foundation. This peace this comfort. Now, I'm going to share with you, I called her that night, as you can imagine, because I had these things that were overwhelming my heart. The Holy Spirit was just overwhelming me, and I just felt like I needed to call her, and I felt like I needed to tell her, baby, I believe he can fix this. I believe we can do this. I believe we can, our marriage can be healed. And on the other end of the phone, I heard silence. And she said, I don't know that I believe that, because I've heard it all before. Years and years and years of you telling me how things were going to change, how things were going to get better. I just don't know. Now, let me stress, this is all God. This has nothing to do with me, because in that moment where she rejected me, my personality would have been to fight. What do you mean? No. What do you mean we can't do it? What do you mean our family shouldn't be together? What do you mean? In that moment, that's how Thomas would have reacted. But I said, I understand. I understand. How can I blame you for saying that? I showed kindness and compassion and patience and love. And Stephanie would tell you, that was something that she had never experienced from me before. In that moment, the Thomas that she knew would have fought and screamed and yelled. And instead I said, I understand. I'll call you tomorrow. And that went on for a full month of calling her tomorrow, calling her tomorrow, calling her tomorrow. And folks, I want to stress, this is not me, because I'm not the most patient man in the world. And I'm going on and on and on. And I'm thinking, oh God, what is going on here? Why is she not letting me back in? Why is she not letting you in? And peace. Call her. Peace. Call her. There was a new foundation being built. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to go to the beginning, verses 24 through 25. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and the torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Something new is happening. Something new was happening in our relationship. We were getting right with one so that we could be right as one. Amen? Getting right with one so that we could be right as one. See, there was a bridge being built. There was a bridge being built in the gap between our past experiences, our bad expectations, our faults, our failures, our mistakes. There was a bridge being built, and that bridge is forgiveness, folks. Jesus. Forgiveness. Me forgiving myself for everything that I had done. Her forgiving me. Me forgiving her. But most importantly, Jesus forgiving us as husband and wife. Now, you may be sitting here today, yeah, but Thomas, what does this mean to me? I really believe that no matter where you are in this equation of relationships, single, married, dating, none of the above, you got to get right with Jesus first before you can enter into any relationship. Any relationship. And the reason is because our relationship with Jesus transforms every other relationship that we have. See, in that moment where I would have reacted out of anger, peace filled my heart. Hope filled my heart. And peace and hope come from Jesus and his forgiveness. Doesn't matter where you are today, if you're trusting in God, if you're building your foundation on the rock, on the cornerstone, on Jesus, your relationship, those walls, no matter how much rain, no matter how much wind, will stand. They will stand. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 23. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. That was what was happened. Did you see, she noticed a difference in how I responded. Throw off the old ways, the old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. See, what was happening was God was taking all that stuff, past experiences, bad expectations, brokenness, faults, failures, and saying, you know what, we're going to put that where it belongs, behind you. And I want to share this with you this morning. This hit me like a ton of bricks when God said to me, Thomas, what is behind you no longer binds you. Now, I got to say that again because I'm pretty sure someone here today needs to hear that and really let that get into their hearts. What is behind you, just plug your name in, blank. What is behind you cannot bind you any longer. God is putting the past where it belongs. See, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And in John chapter 8, verse 32, he says, now you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who's the truth? And he will set you free. And then in the same book, John chapter 8, verses 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly and indeed free. See, here's the thing. We tend to think, because this is what the enemy wants us to believe, that our freedom is attached to the absence of our past experiences, to the absence of our bad expectations, to the absence of our bad behavior. But that's not where freedom is found. Freedom is only found and dependent on the presence of Jesus. Amen. His presence in your home, his presence in your life, his presence in your relationships, that's where freedom is found. And folks, when Jesus is in your marriage, when Jesus is in your life and in your home, the stuff that is behind you cannot bind you. You are free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now I know someone's saying, yeah, but Thomas, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've gone through, and I would tell you that is absolutely true. But I know who was with you. See, in that boat, the men were terrified. They were afraid because the storm was brewing. There was the wind and the waves, and they were fearful of their life. But then here comes Jesus walking on water, calling Peter out, saying, it's okay. I'm with you, calming the wind, calming the waves, and calming the hearts of the men in that boat. So you're right, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that Jesus is with you. And inside that situation, inside that relationship, he can bring forgiveness and transform the foundation. See, Stephanie and I aren't perfect. Our relationship isn't perfect. There's no way for that to happen. Now, he is perfect and perfecting us as a couple. But something has changed in our relationship. We still disagree. We had a disagreement a couple of days ago about an issue that was happening in our daughter's life. We still disagree. That still happens. But I want to share with you that you can fight as long as you're fighting in faith. See, we've all heard fight fair. Come on, fight fair. That's the world trying to convince us of something. How about we fight in faith? Now, before you go throwing stuff at me, thinking, hold on a second, are you condoning fighting with your wife? I want to let y'all know my answer is yes, and here's why. Because here's what that means. It means I'm fighting for her. It means I'm fighting for our relationship. It means I'm fighting for our children. It means we're walking together in faith, trusting that Jesus is with us. We're walking in the Spirit, bound together. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, always be humble. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, I want to stop right there for a second. Because of your love, we got to be real clear, and we've talked about that in this message. Love isn't something that's based on a feeling. Love is something you do no matter how you feel. It's something you do no matter how you feel. So we'll keep going. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. There's that word, united. Walking in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Are you fighting in faith? Are you fighting for your spouse? Are you fighting for your relationship? Are you fighting for your family? Are you fighting for your children? And are you fighting for your friends? Your relationships, are you fighting in faith? Never giving up, just giving it up. Letting go and letting God. In Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I am God. 1 Corinthians 13 and 7 says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. 1 Peter 4 and 8, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers past experiences. Love covers bad expectations. Love covers all the faults and the failures and the brokenness in our lives. Love covers it all. Love covers it all. What's most important is that he first loved us. And because of that unchanging, unwavering, relentless love, we're able to love others. Amen? Amen. You can stop striving and working and start trusting and submitting. Knowing that God is working in and through you and working in and through all of your relationships, you can fight in faith. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, forgave you. There's that word forgiveness again. Remember we talked about the bridge being built in the gap is forgiveness. In the Bible, Jesus gives us a model of prayer. And in that model of prayer, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespassed against us. That forgiveness is the bridge between past experiences, bad expectations, faults, failures, and mistakes in your relationship. And it starts with Jesus. Is there something that's happened in your past that you need to let go of? Just need to let it go and let God. Is there someone that's hurt you? Someone that's done something to you that you're holding on to? See, because here's the thing. If we don't forgive, if we hold on to what's hurting us, we're the only ones that get hurt. So you've got to let it go. And you've got to let God. Stephanie and I, as a couple, are seeing what God is doing in our lives. How he's transforming me as a husband. How he's transforming her as a wife. We're seeing God work. His perfect plan, his perfect timing. You know, the reality is that God knows the end from the beginning. There's a reason why I am here with you today. And the reality is that God brought Stephanie and I through some stuff. And he's probably brought you through some stuff. And he wants you to know that's on purpose and with purpose. And it's brought us here today together in his name. Amen? Amen. See, there's a new story that's being written. God transforming families, God transforming relationships, God transforming me, God transforming my wife, Stephanie, God doing all of the work, us being submitted and surrendered and available. There's a gospel that's being written. about our life and about your lives. There's a gospel being written. Look at that family. Tell me there's not a gospel being written there. We were separated and broken and apart, afraid, alone. There's a gospel being written in that family's life, and there's a gospel being written in your family's life. See, people need to see it. People need to hear the wonder and the majesty and the beauty of God. Are you letting him write your story? We don't know where the path leads. We don't know where the path leads. We don't know what the challenges are going to be, what the obstacles are going to be, but we know this. We know who is with us. Amen? And it doesn't matter how much rain falls. It's going to fall. It doesn't matter how strong the winds get because we know it's going to happen. Our relationship, our foundation of our relationship is built on the rock. Christ Jesus. New hope. And I want to take a moment. You know, the blood we talk about when we take communion, the blood of Jesus. The blood washes over us and it covers our sin. But man, that cross, that cross. See, that cross goes deep down to the root of the problem. Our nature and our flesh. And our nature and our flesh was crucified there on that cross. Thomas is dead. Something completely new is happening. The blood covers the sin. The cross goes to the root of the problem. And not only were we crucified there with Jesus, but we were born again, made new. In the Bible, there's Thomas and Didymus. And there was this message I heard one time that said, one of us is in trouble. Thomas and Didymus, and one of us is in trouble. Well, the reality is Thomas was crucified on that cross. And it's a new being, a new person alive in Christ because of his resurrection. Amen? Let's all stand. You may not know today where God is taking you. You may not understand why the things that are happening in your life are happening, but you can be certain of one thing, because God said so and it's true. He's with you. He goes before you and he will never forsake you. He's working all things together for our good. Now notice the word all. He's working all things together. I experienced some things a kid shouldn't have to experience. My wife experienced some things that a kid shouldn't have to experience. But he says, I take all things and work them together for your good. On purpose and with purpose, those things had to happen to make me the man that I am today in Christ. You may not know where you're going, but you know who's going with you, and he's perfectly faithful and just and compassionate and loving. He poured out his love on that cross for you. And he's not done with us yet. That gospel that's being written, he's not done yet. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is found in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, I believe, had one of the most difficult ministries in the Bible. He was challenged as a young man. And God says, I am with you. And I know that the plans that I have for you. So fight in faith today. Leave that past where it belongs. Leave that past where it belongs. Leave that past behind you and fight in faith. Walk together bound, it said, bound in peace, joy, hope, compassion, generosity, kindness, patience, forgiveness, and love. The greatest of all is love. let's go to him in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we don't take for granted who we are praying to. Your beauty and your majesty. There's no way for us with our human eyes and our human hearts to really fathom how far, how deep, how wide you love us, Lord. But we are so thankful for who you are, a great big God. We wake up in the morning and we see this world, but God, you have already told us you have conquered this world in the name of Jesus. You have conquered this world. No matter where we go, Father, today we seek and we submit and we surrender our lives. We surrender our relationships, Father, knowing and trusting that it's got to be you first. The foundation, the relationship is dependent upon you first, and that you are more than enough. I don't know where you are in here today, but just say those things in your own words. I'm submitted, I'm surrendered, God. I'm laying it at your feet, trusting that I can't make it right, that they can't make it right, that only you, God, can make it right. Seeking you first and seeking you in all things, laying it all down, no closed doors, no hidden places. Take all of it, God. Take all of me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Transform our foundation. Transform our relationships by building a bridge of forgiveness in our lives. Letting go of those past experiences and bad expectations and faults and failures, and letting God, trusting you in all areas of our life and with everything. Believing what you say, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, that you work all things together for our good. You might be here today and you haven't yet said to the Lord Jesus, I lay it all down, I give my life to you. I'm broken and in need of a Savior. Put that in your own words. Just talk to him right now. He hears you. He's listening. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you feel. God, I haven't laid it down. I haven't given it all to you. I haven't given my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins and give me the strength and the courage to forgive those, God, that have trespassed against me. I give you my whole life. I give you my whole heart. And I know that it's only you and your presence that will ever bring true freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At every service, we offer baptism. That's that point where you say, okay, God, this is it. Enough of me, less of me, more of you. We offer baptism at the end of every service. And listen, there's no reason not to do it. We have everything that you need. We'll have folks up front. We'll have leaders and promise groups leaders. And our prayer team will be up front if you need some additional prayer. I want to stress, let go this week and let God. Let go and let God. When that alarm clock goes off, say, God, this is your day that you have made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you all. You're dismissed.